Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DTC Podcast. This is episode number 200. I wish I had some sort of sweet soundboard where I could make that, echo effect, Izzy.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, there was like this comedian that could do it perfectly, like as if he was in a stadium and he was announcing like, attention, tension, tension. I can't do it, but like it was just like phenomenal and spot on. So maybe I'll just have to hire that guy to replace me on the podcast.
Fine by me.
But hey, the Cliff's notes from that opening intro is that this is episode number 200. That's pretty wild. 200 episodes.
It's Cliff notes, right?
No, it's actually Cliff's notes. That's a common misconception. I'm not even kidding. Waylon's laughing his ass off right now. It might be a Mandela
Cliff's,
effect, right? This Cliff's is a Mandela
notes?
Effect. Yeah, search it.
What the?
I want to be here for your reaction.
That cannot be true.
Yeah, I want you both to search. This is Mandela all over the place.
It is.
Oh my gosh, it is?
It is.
Yeah,
Cliff's
this is you guys are Mandela.
So the guy his name is Cliff and he's had notes this whole time.
What?
Is that how I understand it? Or is it because it's like a cliffhanger?
It's like Craigslist.
So who's Cliff?
You think it's Craigslist?
Is it the big red dog guy?
I'm going to look up the brief
history.
Oh, here
we go.
Brief history.
I got it. Derived from Cliff's Notes, a series of literature study guides published by Clifton Hellegas.
Yes.
Clifton Keith.
It's Hellegas, but yeah.
Hellegas.
He died. He died in 2001.
From Nebraska.
Yep, he didn't. Must not have had any good notes on staying alive. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Damn.
I know. That was bad.
It got
dark real fast.
Come on.
Not only is this episode 200, but this is our final episode.
Oh, man.
Do you guys know what the Mandela effect is, right?
Yes. I think they're a little off, like where people think they're actually like Mandela. I don't know which ones I'm thinking about.
I'm gonna go through a couple of them just as an icebreaker.
Okay.
Waylon, you obviously know what Mandela effect is, and just for the ones that are listening that don't, it's like
he may not know.
Oh no, he doesn't. Okay, good, that's good. So it's kind of like a. Let me just read the definition here. The Mandela effect is a phenomenon that makes us question even the most mundane memories from our past. An example, and I want to see. I'm gonna quiz you guys. Does Curious George have a tail?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would say yes. Any monkey, I would imagine, has a tail. Okay, but can I see the back? That's what I always
George
gotta ask.
Does not
see the
have
back,
a tail.
Yeah.
Yep. Curious George does not have a tail. Like the photo is hilarious. Okay, next one. Peanut butter. Talking peanut butter. Is it Jiffy or is it Jif?
JIF.
Yep, just Jif.
You guys got it right. You remember correctly. It is Jif. A lot of people think it's Jiffy. And they're super confused. A lot of people think it's like we're in a different dimension. Like, I swear to God, it was Jiffy, and now it's changed. And they're convinced that it's, you know, instead of their memory being bad, it's a different dimension.
You know what's funny? When you say it that way, I almost picture there being another company. That
right,
was
here's
Jiffy.
One. You didn't watch a lot of TV, so you're not going to get this one. But is it, so it's Looney Tunes, the TV show, is it Tunes spelled T-O-O-N-S, or is it Tunes spelled T-U-N-E-S?
That doesn't look right. That looks right. The one on the left looks right.
So Izzy's going T-O-O-N-S?
I'm going that way as well.
And that's what you'd think because it's like cartoons, but it's actually T-U-N-E-S, Looney Tunes.
We're one for three. But hey, in baseball, that's good, Izzy. So I don't care.
There's the Curious George, just in case like people thought he had a tail, but he do not.
Maybe he has a little nub tail.
Right.
No, he has nubbin. Nothing. Okay, last one. Is it Sex in the City or is it Sex and the City?
Sex and the City. Sex and the City.
Go ahead, Izzy.
Yeah, I think it's Sex and the City.
Yeah, I'm going to go Sex and the City.
You guys got it right. Nice. The common misconception is that it's Sex in the City, but it's always been Sex and the City. This is going to be the last one.
50%.
Which spelling of Oscar Mayer is correct? Mayer spelled M-E-Y-E-R or Mayer spelled M-A-Y-E-R? I'm going to hold up the image to the screen for you guys.
So in my mind, I don't think I've ever looked like, if you look at it this way, if you took out the Oscar Mayer and just showed me the silhouette, like just the outline, I would know that it's Oscar Mayer. I've never actually paid attention to the spelling, if you guys know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would say the one on the left definitely looks more correct.
And just for purposes of breaking the tie, I'm going to go with the one on the right.
Waylon is correct. Oscar Mayer is spelled with an A, M-A-Y-E-R. The common misconception is the M-E-Y.
And the cream always rises to the top. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like that. By the way, this episode is sponsored by Slim Jims. So we're going to have our producer give us a quick jingle on Slim Jims. Once again, Slim Jims, for episode 200 placement, has paid us millions of dollars. It's a contract that's ongoing throughout the course of the rest of the season. You may or may not hear this Slim Jim jingle in future episodes. Mosher, take it away.
I met a macho man, his name was Randy, and this macho man, he said unto me, do you want to know a secret? A secret, oh yeah. A secret, a Slim Jim secret, oh yeah. It's a euphemism, 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 it's a euphemism for my pee-pee.
Slim Jims, snap into a Slim Jim if you want one, especially if they're made by Oscar Mayer. That's it. That's the intro. But actually, we do have a continuation from the previous podcast. The last one, we talked about quarterback cornerstone rankings. That's kind of a little bit of a tongue twister. But what we did was we took the 2020 quarterback class and combined it with the 2021 class, and we kind of ranked them. And just maybe as like a really quick recap, because it's kind of fun to recap stuff, especially when you take notes and there's some Cliff's notes on the episode. Reading through my Cliff's notes, Waylon, you had Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Fields, Tua, Burrow, Zach Wilson, Lance, Mack, and Hurts. I believe that was your list. I may have stopped keeping notes later on, but I think that's how it ended up. And I'm going to do Izzy's, and we'll skip mine just for the sake of time. Izzy, you had Herbert, Trevor, Burrow, Fields. At 5, you had Wilson. At 6, you switched to Mack. At 7, I have everybody crossed out. And then at 8, you have Hurts. You switched your number 7 from Tua to Mac to, I think it's because we remembered a guy and then we put him in there.
Yeah, I moved Mac in. You know what? I feel like I thought about this actually after the pod. I woke up in the middle of the night and I actually thought about this. I think Lance should be higher just based on pure upside. Like if Lance hits his ceiling, it's franchise changing, right? It's dynasty team changing.
Yeah.
I'm okay moving him up and just assuming the floor. Because here's the thing. You're not going to draft Lance with a top half first round pick in dynasty. Like it's not going to be required. He's going to be a 110, 111, 112 guy, maybe 109, depending on where he lands.
Depending on where he lands.
Nice. All day. I would all day take him in that range and go with the home run. That's going to be the highest upside play. If you can get a guy with that type of ceiling at that range, I would do it. I think in the DTC league, Deshaun Watson, I think I got at like 110 or 111, and everybody was down on his arm strength and so on and so forth.
Yeah, velocity.
And he's a top five quarterback. So I think we forget how even a guy like Deshaun Watson, the entire community was kind of torn on. Very polarizing prospect. People either loved him or hated him, and his draft capital, his ADP, was in the back half of first rounds, even in Superflex leagues.
Now, I watched a really close friends of mine film study on Trey Lance, and I got to watch quite a bit. And it was a very good breakdown of it. It's on Twitter. You can check out this film study. The gentleman's name is @_NickWhalen. And what I noticed from Nick Whalen's breakdown is that he was pretty inconsistent, but more often than not, he was bad. He did have some flashes of brilliance. I really liked to see like when he was hitting his throws and his timing and stuff. But Whalen, you broke it down, man. What was your final thoughts on Trey Lance's film?
Well, we're doing final thoughts already?
Yeah. Mixing it up.
Okay. So I've only done the one game this year. I've done all this stuff previously, but he's an inconsistent guy. One of the big misconceptions is you always hear the 42 touchdowns and zero interceptions, but over his four postseason games, because they played FCS, it's kind of a like a tournament style, he averaged 150 yards and one touchdown passing per game, 59% completion percentage. That's at the FCS level. You know, we think he's going to hit, you talked about ceiling, Izzy. That's a really low production in the most important games. Also, if you look at North Dakota State, their history, they're a huge powerhouse. But Easton Stick went there, right? Remember Easton Stick? Mm-hmm. Easton Stick, his last 2 years, 17 and 18, he's also a fifth-round pick to the Chargers, I believe it was. He averaged around 62% completion percentage. Lance was almost 67, so better. Lance had 30 more yards than Stick his last year. They had 28 touchdown passes every year. 19, 18, and 17. Both players had 28 touchdown passes. Lance had no interceptions. Stick had 7 and 8. And then rushing, Stick had 17 touchdowns and 12 touchdowns, and Lance had 14. So you look at that, and Lance had more rushing yards. So he's more athletic. I'm not saying that he's not. And his numbers were a little bit more efficient along the way. But that quarterback position has historically been productive. Lance, being at FCS level, you would hope to be this, you had said ceiling, team-changing type of guy. You would hope they'd be astronomically better, and they're just not. I think we have this thing where, hey, he can run some. He's going to be Lamar Jackson or whatnot. He doesn't have the wiggle. He runs with a little bit more power, and he's inconsistent with his reads. He's late, his accuracy. I just don't see it coming together.
So what's a comp for him? Like Hurts, maybe?
Actually, Hurts had more wiggle. That's not a bad comp because Hurts struggles with this after his first reads not there. That wouldn't be bad. I mean, if he's a second round NFL pick, I would feel way better about him.
Yeah, that's a pretty likely scenario too for him, actually. I'd be interested.
Where do you think Lance goes in the NFL draft, Nick?
Late first. Someone will take a gamble and it won't be worth it. I hope he doesn't go to Chicago.
I'll guess early second. And he'll be early second would make him like a future project guy.
Well, so. I think he definitely goes in the first.
And part of this, what makes this really hard is I'll just give him the benefit of the doubt. We haven't seen him in 2020 outside of one game. I mean, that's a lot of progress these other guys have had that he hasn't had. I mean, this has happened in the past. You know, remember when big Mike Williams at USC didn't get to play a year, you know, and like, is that going to make guys better or worse? That could be a thing, but we need to get to running backs. We've had a lot of time off and on Trey Lance. So,
oh yeah, we got some running backs coming up. Trey Lance might be a running back. So it's a good segue. Might be a better running back. So 2020 running backs mixed with the 2021 class and kind of re-ranking them. I'm going to kind of have Nick and Izzy do a little bit more in-depth breakdowns. I'll just read my rankings off just for the sake of time. But just to give you a list of some guys that could be in our top 10, these are in order of DTC rankings. If you haven't already signed up for DTC, it's worth it just for the rankings page. This is one of my favorite tools because you can customize your rankings with 800 or more different league and scoring settings. So it's quite the tool just to generate some rankings lists. You can download them, export them, print them. It's awesome. Anyway, here's a list of guys for you guys to start to order. Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift. At 3, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers. At 5, Antonio Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. At 7 and 8, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne. 8.5, I had James Robinson. He's 9. I just had to write him in because I missed him. I skipped over. Javonta Williams and then Kenneth Gainwell and A.J. Dillon. That's kind of like 12 guys For you guys to kind of have mixed into there. And I wanted to bring up AJ Dillon because Waylon and I mentioned him pre-podcast, and he's a very interesting one down in that tier. So Let's get started. Let's start things off with Waylon. Waylon, who do you have at number one? Number one.
Jonathan Taylor, pretty easily number one, I think, on most lists right now. A guy that struggled early in the year. I did a big video on him. You're talking about my breakdowns of him struggling and kind of overthinking and doing things that are outside of his realm. But now with, I don't know what, a more stable quarterback position, we'll say, maybe for the future with that team, I think it's going to be really, really good to watch him just thrive. Because you could see he was more confident later in the season. The game kind of slowed down for him. He made better decisions, and he had some runs called back on holds where he could have had more touchdowns too.
Yep. Izzy, you obviously have Jonathan Taylor too. Anything to add?
No, I think that's right.
Yep.
It's hard to argue Jonathan Taylor being one.
Yeah, we can jump over that. I have Jonathan Taylor also at number two, starting with Waylon. Waylon, we'll let you start off with each of these rankings.
Okay, thanks. I'll go with DeAndre Swift. This one was harder because Taylor was the obvious one. And from here on down, it kind of goes, you know, what's the more of the floor and the ceiling? And with Swift, I think his pass catching ability and being a three down back, as well as I like his running ability, I think kind of keeps him at two. But there's still some risk. I mean, you got a new coach coming in. Who knows what happens with the scheme, if they like him, don't like him. There's always risk when there's someone new there, but I'm going to go with Swift at two.
Islam.
Yeah, Swift is also, for me, at two. Right now, it really comes down to, and when I make my list, I'm thinking about who's most likely to receive the full workload. And as it stands, I think Swift is the most likely of the remaining guys to receive the full workload. I think you can make a case for Cam Akers based on how he showed out in the playoffs. And I know Daryl Henderson was banged up and Malcolm Brown became an afterthought. The only reason I don't consider Akers at two, and I love Akers, is I think that Daryl Henderson is good enough to where he eats into Cam Akers' work. So it might be a 60-40, 70-30. And as everybody knows, Cam Akers is my favorite running back coming out last year, much to Nick's disappointment. But I think it's Swift. I think he's the guy that could have that 80-20, 90-10 role. So I'll have him at two.
I also have Swift at two. And just really quickly with all the things, I think Waylon's right, with all the things in flux and including the quarterback, I don't know that they have anybody else on the roster currently that they can lean on for that offensive spark. So Swift is the guy right now. I don't even know what's going to happen with Galladay. Like, what's going to happen with the... There's so many things that are in question right now. So right now, it's Swift pretty easily. Number three, Nick Waylon.
Yeah, this is where it gets really tough for me because, you know... I mean, that rookie running back class, I mean, it goes so deep in terms of guys that have produced at least something year one. And then you have the three rookies. And now I'm going to start with the rookies. And those three I have so tight right now. That I'm going to go with the person that, I mean, I know some people are more down on Javonte Williams. I really like Javonte Williams and what he shows. I'm going to lean Najee Harris. I think he has kind of the highest floor there because of how good of a year he just had, his size. He had 26 touchdowns. I mean, he produced an SEC. I mean, I'll lean on that, I guess, as a tiebreaker. And he can catch the ball. There's still some questions I have for maybe his ceiling, but I think his floor is pretty high, and that's something you have to count on here.
Yeah, he had a very impressive season. He's like he would be the Joe Burrow of running backs if he wasn't already on the map. But Izzy, what do you got at two or three?
Yeah, we should do a little exercise here because I think this is kind of my issue with the rookies. Can we go through and name off the teams that need a running back?
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm going to write these down.
You're going to tell me to do it or?
No, I'm writing these down. So as you guys throw them out, let's write these down. Actually, I'll go. I can also go through the teams. Do the 49ers need a running back? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I mean, not definitively, but yeah, I could see them drafting one or bringing one in free agency. So let's say yes.
Okay. I got by the way, I have the draftnetwork.com. I have their team needs pulled up, so we can probably just use this. So we're not just guessing at it.
Sure.
They have the Bills listed. I could kind of see it. I mean, they like Singletary and they like Moss, okay. But I mean, I could kind of see that.
So right, Bills. Okay,
it's, Bills is their down. Fourth need. Yep.
Okay. What else?
Cardinals.
Okay, Cardinals.
Agree with that.
Okay.
And maybe you can just go through and see if we agree or disagree.
No, just keep. I'm going to write these down.
Okay.
Keep going.
Dolphins. I agree emphatically.
Yep.
Okay.
We have the Jets.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We have the Steelers. That's definitely.
Okay. Yes.
And that's all that's listed. They have their top four needs listed. So that's all yep. there is, though.
Okay. Now, we have three running backs that could be bell cows, potentially. Three good enough running backs to be bell cows, for sure. You can make an argument for a couple others, depending how, you know, they might be better NFL players than they were college players, what have you. And we know that's Najee, ATN, and Javonta. I think those three, I think everybody can agree they have workhorse type potential, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Aaron Jones, Chris Carson, Kenyon Drake, James Conner, all free agents. So that's seven. And that's not including guys like Mike Davis and maybe I'm missing somebody else. But let's say Mike Davis. He's a guy that could just eat into somebody's job. He won't be the guy, but I can see him eating into somebody's work. So you have seven running backs vying for how many spots? Five? So it's
I
like...
mean, I would say five plus.
Yeah, five plus, maybe. Maybe, yeah.
But hold on. You have to add in Atlanta, who has nobody. They have Brian Hill right now. Seattle, okay. If we're going to take away Carson.
Okay.
I mean, there's some other spots.
What about the Seahawks? Because didn't they lose Chris Carson?
Seattle. Yeah, they have nobody.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So now we're at seven. And this is assuming all seven guys go exactly with these seven teams. And we've seen in the past, it doesn't actually work out that way. Whenever we think a team is good at running back, for instance, going into the offseason, we thought Darrell Henderson looks like he was going to be the guy is it LA? I keep wanting to say St. Louis. LA.
Wow.
He's the guy in LA. Okay. And then they draft Cam Akers, which there wasn't, they needed so much more than running back. So a lot of these guys that are being drafted, we just assume that they're going to get slotted into these workhorse roles. And time again, it doesn't happen. You look at Dobbins, he joins Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards. You look at JT, they had Marlon Mack and they had Nyheim Hines and they had Jordan Wilkins. Indy definitely, their top need was not running back. Marlon Mack was a very solid running back. He had a very good 2019. There was no reason for them to draft Jonathan Taylor outside of them loving him. So we look at this and say, okay, what is going to be the window of opportunity for these guys plus the free agents? And that's what really prevents me from going all in on a lot of these running backs. Like, do we think, are we guaranteed that Najee is going to be a first rounder?
I am. Yeah.
You think he's guaranteed? Yeah, he might be.
I mean, but this happens every year, is he? I mean,
it does.
You go back to the Rams where they drafted Gurley when they had the kid out of Trey Mason. I mean, Carolina drafted Jonathan Stewart when they had D'Angelo Williams. Like, it does happen.
Doesn't that hurt kind of your projection for that player?
Yeah, but it could hurt our projection for these rookies too. Who knows if Jacksonville loves James Robinson with their new coach, they might draft a guy.
I think that all should be included into our thought process here when we're going through these lists. And that's kind of what this is how I approached it with. I took the running backs of this upcoming class and we already know where a lot of these guys are. We know where JT, we know these guys' situations, and with the cap coming down and some of the pieces in front of these players or with these players, it's hard to foresee some of these teams making a running back transaction. So I have Akers at three because I like his situation. I have Akers at three, ahead of Dobbins because I just don't see Baltimore ever being a team that's going to give one guy the pill. So I liked what I saw to Dobbins. I thought arguably you could say that from a performance perspective, just not just looking at stats, you could argue that he was just as good as the top two guys on this list. But I have Akers at three, and then we'll keep going with four. I just wanted to bring that up, just kind of why I'm going to have these rookie running backs a little bit lower.
Well, I want to rewind a little bit really quick, too, because Izzy, you asked the question if Najee Harris is guaranteed first round. Waylon, you were pretty confident in your answer, and I just want to ask you one question. Do you believe that Najee Harris is as good or better of a college prospect than Jonathan Taylor?
I would say no. I would say Taylor's a notch ahead of him.
I agree. And that's what's causing me to have some doubt on where he's going to be. And I think it's like the NFL has a stigma of drafting running backs early now. I don't know who hurt them or if it's just a team needs thing or a recency bias thing.
I think it was the running backs in those few years where there wasn't running backs being drafted. They just weren't that good. If you look back and see the running backs of that draft class, none of them really balled out to the point where like, wow, the NFL really missed on that guy.
Yeah, but the NFL missed on all of these guys in 2020 now. So I don't understand how this happens. Like, these guys were all, they performed like first-round worthy draft picks, all of them.
But to me, it was, they saw there was a group of guys that's all pretty good. So why, like, we're in a draft, right?
Supply,
it's like, hey,
demand.
There's six receivers left we like, and we're in the middle of that round. We can go tight end and come back. One of the receivers will drop to us.
I agree. Okay, yeah. I could see that. Yeah. And that's not the case this year. So that if they want their guy, they might have to go and get it. Okay, I agree with that. I like that.
Right. And to me, I mean, we talk about the cap, which I think is really real here, if a big issue of it dropping and they have to cut a lot of guys. We already seen Green Bay and New Orleans make moves about this. Carolina, I think they're trying to make a move to get Deshaun Watson. It's a whole nother topic we don't got to get into. But with that fifth year being an option, being cheap, if you could get a Jonathan Taylor, is it you like Cam Akers more than I do? Or, you know, one of these running backs, if you get them cheap for 5 years, and then cut them loose, and that's your strategy once every 5 years. That's not a terrible move if you know the guy's legit good. You know what I mean? That's a you don't have to pay 6, 8, 12 million. Now you can use that and shift that into another position, and you know, for salary reasons.
Yeah, or four years probably, right? Okay, so I'm with Izzy. I have Akers at 3. I like the upside, and I had the same. I decided between Dobbins. I just don't think Dobbins is going to be involved in the pass game. I do see him being like getting the pill just because his talent is undeniable, but I think he gets dwarfed by his involvement in the passing game. Number 4, Nicholas Whalen.
Let me go over here. Sorry, I'm looking at other things. Number 4, I have ETN. I loved ETN a lot more prior to this last year. He stepped up his passing game chops. To me, I think people really miss on how well he runs in traffic. He runs aggressive in traffic, which makes all the difference. You can be fast, and then you can run fast in tough areas, and you break those tackles because of that confidence. And he gets yards after contact, even after he's going to go down. I think he's a much tougher runner than people give him credit for. I think he's really impressive. You know, look at his efficiency stats too. They're better than Jonathan Taylor, which people are like, oh, his career. And so, I got him at 4, but it's tough. Like I said, this group's really close.
I agree. Izzy, what do you got at 4?
I had a difficult time deciding between, surprisingly, Clyde or Dobbins. I'll explain Clyde in a second, but I gave the edge to Dobbins.
I like it. I also had Dobbins at 4, and again, I think that he's going to see the rock a little bit more frequently than you think, Izzy, but we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. Number 5, Nick Whalen.
James Robinson. I think that we're still labeling people based on where they were drafted in the NFL draft, and now that does not matter. It's gone. He proved himself to be a good running back, an efficient running back. He caught the ball a heck of a lot more than Cam Akers and J.K. Dobbins, that both these guys have already labeled as guys they wanted ahead of him, including Cam Akers had 11 receptions last year, and Robinson, I think, had 45. Even more than J.K. Dobbins, which that's my biggest concern with Dobbins, is that Lamar Jackson doesn't dump it off to the running back. And we know that running backs that are going to be in this top 6, maybe top 10 in fantasy football, they have to have 50 or more receptions, maybe 60 or more receptions. I mean, McCaffrey, all these guys have had that when they've really been a high ceiling guy. And I don't see Dobbins ever getting there. Will Akers get there? I'm not sure. Izzy talked about Darrell Henderson. That's another conversation. So I'm going to go with Robinson, who right now has no competition and has already proven it.
So, Waylon, you stimulated some thought, and I have a philosophical question for you guys in Dynasty. And actually, this is a little bit more selfish than anything, but I'm doing this study or report that I call the Toxic Report. Izzy doesn't like the name of that very much, but it kind of evaluates a Dynasty asset's toxicity, depending on how risky of an asset they are. And one of the variables is draft capital. Now, just like you said with James Robinson, at what point in a player's career does draft capital no longer matter? Izzy, you can start.
Depends on the position.
Let's just use running back as an example for this case.
So just to clarify, is this for fantasy football purposes or NFL purposes?
It may be a little bit of both, because in this instance, it kind of goes hand in hand, like in this context.
I'm just saying, like, in terms of like value for other fantasy football owners, like how they'll rank a guy or how long they'll start.
So yes, it's rooted on fantasy football, but like the NFL's decision on a player will heavily weigh into this decision. So
okay, go ahead, Izzy, unless you don't have an answer.
Yeah, no. I think for me, it's only comfortable until they get a contract. Like, the Arian Foster got a contract. Priest Holmes got a contract. Is there another undrafted free agent stud?
Chris Carson.
No, he was a seventh rounder.
Yeah, but I mean, still, does it matter?
It's in the same draft capital conversation, I guess. Yeah.
What was his contract?
He definitely got a restructure. I'll look it up while you're continuing on. Maybe Phil hasn't got a contract.
I don't think he did. He just came out a few years ago.
So he just lost it then, yeah.
And they're not re-signing him. Yeah, it's just
Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris, yeah, back in the day. I don't know. It's just something I'm uncomfortable with. I don't like day four running, but they're flip candidates for me every time. Arian was a guy that was transcendent. I was obsessed with Arian, so I would have never wanted to trade Arian. But I don't see guys like Arian. I don't see Arian or Priest Holmes and James Robinson. I think he's a great running back. But I don't think he's a guy that, if they were smart, which franchises aren't, we can identify that. Across the NFL, franchises for some reason just don't get it. James Robinson should be the starter for the next 4 years, and he should be the guy, and they shouldn't bring anybody else in. He's good enough for that. But I don't trust these GMs to do that. Time and time again, like, sure, James Robinson is better than Philip Lindsay, but Denver didn't need to go spend the money to bring in Melvin Gordon. Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay could have done a fine enough job in that backfield to do whatever Denver needed to do in the run game.
Easily.
Sure, the pass game, Philip Lindsay is not a plus. He's a zero in the pass game. But there's a cheaper way to get like a Nyheim Hines type or a Tariq Owen type. You don't need to go spend $10 million on a Melvin Gordon. So I worry about that with James Robinson. For whatever reason, in their mind, if it's a... And plus, with James Robinson, you got a new head coach too, which you got no draft capital. You got a new head coach. You got a shiny new quarterback. They have a lot of cap space. Like, all of that is just, I'm shitting a brick if I'm a James Robinson owner. How would I run the Jags? James Robinson would be my starter for the next 4 years, and I'd be spending all my other money everywhere else, but I can't trust it.
Okay. So how are you answering the question about when draft capital no longer matters?
I just told you, for me, until they get another contract.
Okay, so it's a brand new contract.
I'm forever going to not trust the running back until they get another contract.
But running backs don't get contracts. You know that.
But it's about the team investment. So for me, if you're drafting the first and second round, the team is invested in you. Draft capital, money, it shows that this is what they're committed to in some degree. We look at the fourth, fifth, sixth rounders, seventh rounders undrafted. It is very hard to find a running back that a team is committed to. Now, Aaron Jones was a guy that took the job. Chris Carson's a guy that took the job, but we've been frustrated with Chris Carson. A lot of it had to do with injuries. And they tried to replace Chris Carson with Rashad Penny. And he just, who knows what would have happened, but Rashad Penny couldn't stay healthy.
Who was the other guy too? Before Penny. He was
Thomas
a Twitter darling.
Thomas Rawls. I mean, he was
undrafted
guy.
Procise.
Oh, CJ Procise. Yep.
Yeah.
Thomas Rawls, he had a great rookie season and he was gone, a lot of it due to injury, but I don't know. I just, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, I'm out. Even a guy like Jordan Howard, who I've always really liked as a player, now sure, he's not an all-around talent, but he's good enough to be a solid running back in the NFL, and they tried to bring company in for him, and he was gone.
You guys already forgot about CJ Procise. That's hilarious.
Yeah, CJ.
He was a third rounder.
The wide receiver, you mean?
He was. Well, I did so much studying on guys that had such limited carries in college and where they got drafted. He was the next lowest guy, along with Kenyon Drake, to Antonio Gibson. So Process didn't get a lot of play.
Antonio Gibson breaks the mold.
I mean, I definitely get your argument. It's a little bit more risky, but to me, it's like I always want to see a sample size of players doing well in the NFL. And I mean, Robertson catches. I mean, you know, I think he's a better player overall. Yeah. There's risk there, but there's also risk that, you know, I mean, we could do this with every guy. I mean, in every efficiency category, Darrell Henderson was better than Cam Akers last year. And so whether people believe that or not, you know, end of the season, I get that, playoffs, I get that. But he has such a small sample size of being successful. Did he have fresh legs? Defense had not fresh legs. Is that what bumped up his efficiency? Maybe. You know, we could do this with all of them. I mean, Dobbins, is he going to split with Gus Edwards for the majority of his career? That could happen too. You know, I mean, you can do that. Is he risky? Sure. But we're at that point right now. You're talking about rookies are risky. I mean, the for sure guys are gone. So right now we're like, how are they going to project? Yeah. The downside is they replace him.
Yeah.
But we do know James Robinson is a good running back.
Yeah. There you go. So it's a personal policy. And this is my number one criteria for running back is the draft capital perspective. It's just when we have such a small sample size of fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and undrafted players actually having long-term prospect as a bell cow or as the 80-20 in a backfield, we just don't have that many of them to go off of. So I'm very comfortable being wrong on this, but it's not just the draft capital that's the issue. It's the other things that I mentioned with the franchise having a lot of money, shiny new toy, wanting to surround him with as much as possible, and then Urban Meyer coming. And he's not a guy that Urban Meyer, to me, I don't think that's a great fit. I wouldn't be hiring Urban Meyer personally. So I don't know what's going to happen with what he wants and what he's going to try to do. Who knows?
I'm going to have to put staff change in my report, Izzy. I like that. That's a good mention.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. Did we get to, wait, was that?
That was, so Waylon finished off at five with J-Rob. Izzy, you're up at five.
So Clyde is five for me. Here's the thing. I think Clyde got a really tough shake. I think he played a lot better than people want to give him credit for. Do I think maybe Clyde isn't a full-time 20 carry guy, right? That's totally fine. Maybe he's more of a 13, 14 carry guy, sprinkled in some touches in the pass game. Now, here's the deal. They're over the cap. They're not going to make space for anybody else to come in. They're not going to be able to sign a player and they're not going to draft one in the first round. So you're looking at CEH. Darrell Williams is his main competition. I guess, Damian, do you guys know the Damian Williams situation?
Yeah, he comes back because he had his year off from COVID, and it's just his contract carries over.
So basically, it's going to be Damian, Clyde, and Darrell. And I'm good with Clyde and Damian kind of jostling it out because I think Clyde is better than Damian. So I can see him being the lead with Damian there and Darrell kind of picking up some scraps due to injury, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I'm comfortable with that. I like the Chiefs offense. I like what I saw to Clyde. I really think that if you really peel back the onion and look at not only what Clyde did on the field, but what he did analytically, I think he did really well. They brought in Bell. He had an injury. I think he just needs time. He's a young kid. The raw is there. Everything you want out of Clyde is there, outside of probably being a guy that can carry the load the full way. But yeah, I like Clyde.
I got Najee Harris at five, and my real quick explanation is a question for Izzy. Mm-hmm. Izzy, if somebody offered you in a one quarterback league the 101 for CEH, do you take it?
Yes, because I can get more. I'm not going to take Najee and hold on to it. I'll take the 101 and trade it.
Okay. And I kind of think, Najee is pretty right now, at least before the draft happens and combine and everything, the fake combine. I think Najee's pretty clear cut in a one quarterback league, the 101, and probably a 102, 103 in a super flex league. I just don't think that Clyde could fetch that right now after the way he finished his season. Okay, so I'm going to go Najee, just knowing that that's where he's landing. So, number six, Nicholas Waylon.
J.K. Dobbins. I had said this before, people didn't like this, but I thought the Ravens offense was going to take a step back. Same with Lamar Jackson in terms of efficiency, and it did happen. But J.K. Dobbins was efficient when he got touches. I want to see him carry a heavier load with a bigger sample size and catch the ball before I bump him up a lot in my rankings, but I have him 6 here.
I love it. Izzy, number 6, who you got?
It's Harris for me here. I think a lot of this, too, with my list, this will change come draft. So once I know where these guys slot, then things will move. Uncertainty for me is the biggest, like, dagger for dynasty owners, just buying into uncertainty. And right now, with these running backs, I don't know how they're testing, even though pro day numbers are going to come out and they're going to be just Adonises. But, I think Najee from a draft capital perspective, and I think he's going to be the first running back off the board. I think he's a solid running back, a little older than what people want, but I think in Dynasty, we're looking at running backs from a 3-year perspective anyways, and then we can decide what we want to do with them from there. First contract deal. So I have no issue with his age. So I have him ahead of Gibson and the other two rookies and James Robinson because of draft capital and just the difference between ATN and Javonte is solid in the pass game too, but I think Harris is an all around solid running back. And it's hard to find those guys, even though some of them are kind of like a wolf in sheep's clothing a little bit. I think Najee is a real deal in all aspects of the game.
I like it. At number 6, I've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Izzy, yours and our rankings are exactly the same with the exception of 5 and 6 being flip-flopped, so that's fine. Number 7, Nick Whalen.
I have Javonte Williams. I really like his tape. I was surprised at how much I liked his tape, his decision-making, his toughness. He does catch the football. He's got really good vision. Honestly, I'm not sure if he won't be my top running back after I'm done with all my evals. I like him a lot.
Ooh. What do you got at 7?
I
gets a little dicey.
I reluctantly have Antonio Gibson here. I think I can see him being 10 on my list. In a month from now, I could really just sit down, look at everything, and be like, yeah, you know what? He's at 10. Washington has a lot of cap space. They're gonna have a
Taylor Heinicke, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully a new quarterback. They just have a lot of cap space, and I can see them addressing the position in some way. But he played really well last season, and I can't ignore his performance. I think he's a bit overstated from what people. I don't think he's look at it this way. In 3 years, I don't see Antonio Gibson being like a first round. Second round startup pick. I would put my money on no. It's possible, but I would just put my money on no, even though he did play really well last season. Then draft capital plays into it a little bit. Not as big as it does for James Robinson. But with ATN and Javonte, I think when their teams, you know, when they land on their teams, I'll decide if I want to move them up ahead of Gibson. I'm guessing they might, but right now it's Gibson.
Whalen, you had some notes.
Yeah, I just, there's a couple of things. I know people are going to make me like the resident Antonio Gibson and Cam Akers haters just because I had them ranked a little bit lower. But to me, this is all about, I mean, we do not know what's going to happen. We're all talking about all of these points and all of them can be right. We're hedging bets. We're all making educated guesses. I wanted a bigger sample size from Gibson before I ranked him higher last year and everyone liked his combine stuff. But we have to...
That's the smart money though, Nick. I mean, that's the right. Smart money. I don't care what anybody says. If you're betting against Antonio Gibson based on the information that we had provided is the smart money.
Yep. And
odds are in that favor.
And I'm going to give you guys... I appreciate that. And a couple more things to this is now he played better than I thought he did last year. I thought that as the season went on, he showed a little bit better vision and things like that. But we also have to put some things into context. I mean, he had 11 rushing touchdowns last year, okay, on 170 carries, okay? Jonathan Taylor had 11 rushing touchdowns on 232 carries. Aaron Jones had 9 rushing touchdowns on 201 carries. David Montgomery had 8 on 247 carries. The point of that is Antonio Gibson had an outlier season in terms of rushing touchdown percentage. He's not going to repeat. So that's one thing to think about. Okay, we're like, he had his really good season. He produced really well in a couple of games I'm sure we'll talk about. But in terms of, he ranked really good in fantasy. Well, he got rushing touchdowns, which to me is just like, is your team down there and did you get the opportunity versus, you know, like you're just a really good runner at finding the end zone. You know what I mean? Like that's tough to define. So 11 on 170 carries is really high. The other thing is this. 31% of his rushing yards last year came against two games against Dallas, and 36% of his rushing touchdowns last year came against two games against Dallas. Dallas was 30th best rush defense in the NFL efficiency-wise. They were trash, and if you watch those games, there's wide open holes. So it's dangerous to me to have him ranked super high, which I don't think we have here. I think as you talked about the risk, I think you have to put that in a context. Now, is Gibson better than I thought he was? Yes, but I don't think he's this super top running back asset right now, because we have to see him do it, I think, in a better level. I mean, if you look at all of his games last year, they weren't, outside of the Dallas games, they weren't overly impressive to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like to me, Akers had a better end of the season. Now, again, fresh legs I talked about, but he did in the playoff games. That's when it matters. You know what I mean? You want to see someone get it done when it does matter versus not.
Yeah. My number 7 is Travis Etienne. So Izzy, you're saying ATN. Waylon's saying ETN. I like saying ATN, but I think it's ETN. Do you guys happen to know which one it actually is?
I think it's ATN, but
I like saying ATN, but I think it's ETN.
It's very Ivory Coast French. It's a French last name, so I'm guessing it's ATN. ATN. It's probably ATN.
That's why I like saying that, because it sounds cooler, but I don't think it is.
Izzy, for as long as I've known you, you're the only one that gets really particular on how last names sound. right. The tight end for Kansas City, how do you say his last name?
Kels. That's how you say it, right?
No, you're the only one that's ever said that and I've ever heard of.
I've never said Kels. It might be somebody else. I say Kelsey.
Oh, I've heard you say Kels.
Uh-uh. I've never said Kels.
You just did on air. It's recorded.
Oh, I thought, no, because I thought that's how you said it.
No, I thought that's how you said it.
We heard it, man. I've always,
dude, millions
Hurley's
people.
Been my friend for, Hurley would have never let me call him Kels.
No, I would have freaked out.
Yeah, he would have. I've never actually pronounced his name Kels. Right.
You'd have other guys you do this to, though.
I think I do it with Kamara. People call him Kamara. It's Kamara. But
there's a quarterback you do
people call. People call Mariota. It's Mariota.
Mariota.
It's not Mariota. It's Mariota.
No, it's Mariota. We heard him say it himself, actually. That's how you say it.
Mariota, yes. Who says Mahomes? Somebody says Mahomes, and it pisses me off. Who is that? God, who calls him Mahomes?
Oh, yeah. Somebody. You know who it is. Are you joking right now?
No, I forget. Oh, it's our producer. Oh my God, Mahomes! God, it just pisses me off.
I don't think he actually knows. Yeah.
So it's a little, okay,
little Falcone thing.
So what are we on now?
So that was my number 7 was ETN. I was kind of like jumbling the pronunciation of it. I just wanted to say that I like guys like ETN, where like before Najee Harris's big season, ETN was kind of considered the pretty far and away the number 1 guy. And I like that. Like it's reminiscent of like a Nick Chubb, you know, before Nick Chubb's injuries and before a lot of the question marks he had, he was like the clear cut number 1 guy and, you know, Saquon. So I like those bounce back type of guys. He kind of had a little bit, he, you know, fell below Najee, and I like ETN to come back. So number 8.
Cam Akers. I don't think I have to say anything else. We've already talked about him a lot.
I agree. I like that. Izzy, who do you have at 8?
ATN. I don't want to say it's take lock because he's 8 out of 10. But he gets the nod over Javonte Williams for a couple reasons. We'll talk about Javonte in a second. I think ATN is a lot better than what people give him credit for. And it really depends on where he lands for me. If he can land somewhere where he can get, he's a north-south guy. Like, he's a north-south guy. I mean, if we're talking, like, he's Kamara level contact balance. Guy's an absolute machine. I think Nick and I, he's one of the few prospects where over the last couple of years, we've been very in line with ATN. What he does well, he does amazing.
He's an ATN and, machine.
Yeah, yes. And I like players like that. He's improved. I think the big question mark, and the same question mark with Jonathan Taylor, was the passing game. And the one thing that really bothers me with ATN is he's even said he's not comfortable catching the ball, which I don't like hearing.
But after that, he caught the ball and was fine.
After that, yes. But I think the biggest thing we do in Dynasty is we overrate the he didn't catch passes in college. We've seen time and time. Leonard Fournette turned into an 80 catch receiver.
Did he wait? Elliott.
Hey, say his name. Say his name.
What? What's that?
The guy you hate the most.
Heisenberg.
Oh, Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon caught passes.
He said something positive. Record this for Hall Dude, of Fame Melvin DTC.
Here's the thing that's crazy about Melvin Gordon. He's a better receiver in the NFL than he is a running back. And in the first 6 weeks of the NFL, Jonathan Taylor was a better receiver than he was a running back. And in the NFL, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a better running back than he was a receiver. And it's like, we just need to stop with that, because what they do in the college game is it's not that hard for elite athletes to catch a football. I mean, hell, Adrian Peterson, who's got hands of stone, caught 35 passes in a season. And this was in the era where running backs weren't involved as much as they are now.
Right.
ATN will be fine.
I want to put a little context to ETN, his numbers prior to this last year, which was a little bit down. Just for context, among the running backs that we're talking about right now, Taylor, Dobbins, Akers, Swift, when they were in college. Okay. So this is not taking the 2020 numbers into context. He had 493 carries. Taylor had like 905, so much less. ETN had 54 rushing touchdowns. Taylor had 50. So he had way more rushing touchdowns, which you think would hurt efficiency. He averaged 8 yards per carry. Okay. The next highest is Taylor at 6.7. He averaged 1.3 more yards every carry than Taylor and still had more rushing touchdowns. All the other guys are less than that in terms of Swift, you know, Dobbins. They're all way less than that. So he was super efficient. He scored a ton. And, you know, we're thinking about what happened in 2020. And I know, what have you done for me lately is in your head. ETN was rushing at one of the best rates in NCAA history prior to this last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's my, similar to Cam Akers, he's still my favorite running back in this class. I want to give him a pass for this last year because what we saw before was, I mean, like Nick said, it's legendary. Magical. Yeah. And I feel like I don't like the fact that he gets dinged for having two great seasons and having one substandard season, but it's still a good season, just substandard for his ability. And then we have one Javonte Williams season and he's catapulted ATN and he's so much better. Like Javonte Williams last year was like, he was a 900 yard running back with 5 touchdowns. On more carries, by the way. He had more carries last year than he did this year. And the difference between Javonte last year, actually, is it my turn?
You just went with ATN, but
okay. Yeah. Well he's so wait. No, Nick went Akers at 9 or is Akers
Nick
at
went
8?
Akers at 8, you went ETN at 8.
ATN. Okay. Let me get to Javonte Williams in a second. Actually, I'll just say this because I'm on this point. So what he did last year, Javonte Williams, was 14 touchdowns was really the big difference. He had more carries last year, but he had 14 more touchdowns this year. So we're talking about Antonio Gibson. You were talking about touchdown rate. He had 157 carries and 19 touchdowns. Like, we're talking, what is that, 15%?
Jeez. That's like a dollar an hour.
I mean, that's, I don't know. I think it's, I can't put Javonte Williams ahead of him. Let's get to 9, and then I'll kind of get into my Javonte Williams thing. And I think he's a good running back. Don't get me wrong, but
right.
I'll explain why he's so low.
Well, let me add in. I mean, we're there. Why don't we just talk about it? The one thing that I worry about a little bit with Javonte is I like the traits that I saw, but the offense caters to running backs. It's a lot of outside pulling guys, outside runs, which helps with the efficiency. But also, Michael Carter, who's also good, was just as efficient as he was. So,
better, you know, more efficient.
Is he special or is he not? That's something that comes into context when your other teammate does it too.
Correct. And that is my point between them. And I'll kind of go through some stats here for you guys.
I'm glad I stole your point from you.
No, totally fine.
It's a perfect segue though, Izzy, because my number eight was Javonte Williams. And for me, it's I'd rather take the relative unknown guy than what's left. And what's left for me is Gibson, J-Rob, AJ Dillon. They all have too big of question marks for me. I'd rather just go with the lotto ticket. Based on the traits that I've seen too from Nick Whalen's studies.
Okay. Go ahead. Who's your nine, Nick?
Number nine.
I have Antonio Gibson there.
Fair enough. Okay.
And I think towards the end here, this is easy because we've already kind of covered each of these guys exhaustively. So Antonio Gibson at nine.
Yeah, I guess I don't know who's missing from Nick.
I will tell you who's missing. I'll tell you who's missing when I do my time.
We'll get there. Nine for me is Williams.
It's Clyde Edwards.
So here's, oh yeah, Clyde. I'm going to read Javonte Williams' attempts. 157, 1140, and 19 touchdowns. He averaged 7.3 yards per carry. Michael Carter, 156 attempts, 1245 yards, 100 more yards on one less carry, 9 touchdowns, 8 yards per carry. Now, granted, let's say they're dead even because maybe a majority of those 19 touchdowns were he's the goal line guy, he's inside the 10, he's not going to be able to have the same type of opportunities that Michael Carter does. Fine. In the pass game, they both caught 25 passes. Williams actually had 40 more yards, one more touchdown. On the season, they both had almost identical carries or touches, 181 to 182. Michael Carter had more yards from scrimmage, 15-12 to 14-45. Javonte had 22 touchdowns to Michael Carter's 11. Now we have Javonte Williams being talked about as a top five dynasty pick, and Michael Carter is somewhere in the late second to early third. I will tell you this. If it continues this way, I will have a lot of Michael Carter on my teams. Just based on the fact that I think he's being overlooked in favor of Javonte Williams. I'm not saying he's better than Williams or as good, but I'm saying he's being overlooked. And I want to point to 2019. If you look at 2019 numbers from Javonte and Michael Carter, so once again, Javonte actually had more carries last year than he did this year, but it was 166 for 933 and 5 touchdowns. He averaged 5.6 yards per clip. He had 17 receptions for 176. Michael Carter had 177 attempts, 1,000 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, had 21 receptions for 154 and 2. So on the season, he had 198 touches. This is Michael Carter, 198 touches, 1,157, 5.8 yards per touch, 5 total touchdowns. Javonte, 183, 1,109, 6.1 per touch, and 6 touchdowns. Like, we're talking about almost identical stats. Every single season, they've been in the backfield together outside of 2018, where Michael Carter actually outproduced him by a wide margin, and he was more of a prominent figure in the backfield over Javonte Williams in 2018. Who was the running back in 2018? Who are we missing? Who's the North Carolina running back then? Do you know, Nick?
I can't think, because I was going to say this. You know why people like Williams more than Carter, right? The obvious.
Oh, size.
Yes. But because we're becoming very sizist, I believe, within the running back industry.
Yeah.
If you're not 220, people aren't interested. And I think that's not fair because we've had guys that have broken that trend, just like we've had light receivers that have broken that trend as well.
But to the credit of that, there is some that does carry weight, because if you look at the top running backs right now in Dynasty, they're all the prototypes. You look at all the way down from, you know, McCaffrey is in the 210s. He's 5'11" in the 210s. You look at JT, you look at Barkley, you look at Nick Chubb, you look at Zeke. Kamara is the only kind of, you can make a case that he's not the prototype, but he's just such a dynamite in the pass game. You look at...
Hold on, though. So, I mean, 210s is different than 220. I mean, Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Who else here? Cream, is Kareem Hunt that big? I don't know if he is or not.
Kareem Hunt is, yeah. Kareem Hunt is in the 220s.
Melvin Gordon came in, not that heavy. Ronald Jones came in, not that heavy. I don't, DeAndre Swift is not that heavy. J.K. Dobbins is not that heavy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not that heavy. Miles Sanders, well, they're in
the,
is he 220?
They're well into the 200s, though.
Yeah, but, yeah, but you, I said 220. I mean, I don't know what Carter is. He could bulk up and be 208 or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think Michael Carter is definitely getting a unfair shake, for sure. But that's why I have...
Right.
Williams is a one-hit wonder. He is. I mean, he's performed just as well as Michael Carter. Like, the almost the exact same. So if I don't understand why, and Nick, you have him ahead of what he showed. He does look really good. I'll give you that. He's basically what Michael Carter is, but he's built like a truck. So that is, sure, if I'm talking about breaking a tie, mm-hmm. yes. I just think that there's way too much of a delta between the two in terms of draft capital in Dynasty, or at least in ADP right now, relative to what their production has been side by side. That's not to say that I don't... Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's bad. So let's put it that way. I think he's a good running back, and I think they're both good running backs. I just don't... I just can't put him ahead of ATN right now. I just can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Michael Carter is... that's a good... Now, hold on to the point. I think he's going to be a good buy.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And I think that's probably the lesson from this, but we got to keep moving here to get this show off the ropes here, but or show off the... What am I trying to say?
Show off the road. Let's get the show off the road, yeah.
Show off the road. Let's get the show off the road. My number nine, like, I literally don't care between Gibson, J-Rob, A.J. Dillon, and anybody else that's like kind of in that tier. They're all interchangeable for me, so I'll take any one of them at that at 9 and 10. So.
Wow, they're interchangeable.
You're not going to pick one?
Those are interchangeable. If I was going to pick one, I would go Gibson, J-Rob, A.J. Dillon in that order. But literally don't care which one I have. Number 10, Nick Whalen, bring it home.
Number 10, I'm going to go A.J. Dillon, a guy that I was not as high on going into last year. I saw him perform. He performed better than I thought. Green Bay will not sign a big-time running back. Aaron Jones is not coming back. I don't know how many times we have to say this. I have to put this on Twitter. I wonder if Juju Smith-Schuster is going to sign with Green Bay. Do you know their cap space? They have to clear about $40 million to get under the cap, to have enough money for rookies and enough for in-season roster moves. And that's with re-signing nobody. They still have to tender Robert Tonyan. That's going to be about 2.5, I think. They have to obviously fill out the roster. They are not signing Aaron Jones. If they re-sign anybody, it should be Corey Linsley, who's a top 5 center in the NFL. And that's because Jones is going to command, what, $8 to $12 million per year? And they just can't afford it. This is why they drafted A.J. Dillon. So when you look at who I left off, which is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I do like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But Kansas City's offense goes through Mahomes in passing. It does not go through the run game. Green Bay's offense goes through the running game. They run the ball so much. They pass so much to their running backs. I mean, that's why Jamal Williams was effective when he was in there. So Jones has been a top running back in fantasy for a couple of years. A.J. Dillon is a super huge buy low right now in Dynasty.
And he has massive thighs, so you should probably just take him on your team just for that reason alone. Big old chicken thighs.
Quadzilla.
Quadzilla. Izzy, who do you have at number 10 rounding out your list?
So A.J. Dillon would be in my top 10 if Jamal Williams, for some reason, didn't, like, he just exists. Unfortunately exists in Green Bay. I get it. He's good. He's good in pass pro. He's good in the pass game. He's just like, he is the jag of all jags that's really good at what he does. He's basically the broke version of Frank Gore. He is, if there was a homeless guy on the street that happened to be Frank Gore's twin brother, that would be Jamal Williams. And he's there, which is the problem I have with A.J. Dillon. Like, he'll forever get work. Jamal Williams is a free agent?
He's a free agent just like Aaron Jones is.
You think Jamal... What? I did not know that.
They're both free agents.
Oh, they were... Yeah, they were rookies at the same time. Yep.
That's right.
They're both fourth and fifth round picks. They're both free agents. He might not come back either.
God, I don't... I can see them signing Jamal Williams.
They could, but again, that's an unknown. Antonio Gibson, someone could come in there. You talked about J-Rob. They could... Jamal Williams could go to Jacksonville there, Izzy. There could be your guy
right.
That signed.
Yeah, wow. Wow, yeah, you're right. But, yeah, so, I mean, that does change things. Damn, I did not know that. List.
The thing that was so tough for me is, like, I was not an A.J. Dillon truther because the offense was different, but he looked good in that zone scheme, and they run through the running back there. You look at what's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers might leave after next year. They're going to have to lean on Dillon with Jordan Love there. I just see his value going up significantly.
They could draft one.
I don't think they do.
They have so many holes.
So here's the thing. They're like $15 million over the cap, aren't they?
Well, they restructured David Bakhtiari. They cut Kirksey, the linebacker, and Rick Wagner, who's the right tackle. So they've cleared about $20 million, but they still need to cut another. Like I said, they have to make room for another $40 million just to function. That's without re-signing people.
Yeah, they're still $11 million over. Yep.
The Packers always draft running backs, though. I it's the same point that Izzy made. I don't think they need one, but they always do. You know, I remember that, like, Eddie Lacy, Jonathan Franklin year, and then I remember the Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams year. It just seems like they always do this, and they draft wide receivers in the second.
Fuck.
They draft running backs late in a lot of them. So I don't understand it, but that's
my mind
do.
Is blown right now.
James Starks.
James Starks.
Well, who's the Sam Congato? Remember Sam Congato?
Sam Congato. Yeah.
Mon Green.
Yep.
Mon Green's a stud. God, AJ Dillon. Yeah, this list changes.
Okay, how about you pause? We'll go to Hurley. We'll come back to you.
Mine was kind of already captured for the rest of my list. I have Gibson, J. Robin, Dillon kind of in
you
that
you have
same.
To pick. It's a list. You got to pick.
I did. So I'm going to stick with my list. I got Gibson, J. Rob, and Dillon in that order.
All right.
I'm going to move Javonte out of my top 10.
Oh, shit.
I'm actually going to. I talked myself out of Javonte being in the top 10.
And you're going to put Michael Carter in.
No. I'm going to move.
In
I'm
comes
move.
Eno Benjamin. What?
Oh, no.
He's taking
I'm
the Arizona move, job.
I'm going to move A.J. Dillon to 9.
To 9?
I'm going to keep James Robinson at 10. Let me put it to you this way. Based on A.J. Dillon's workload last year, we could say in terms of freshness, he's basically a rookie. We got a glimpse of A.J. Dillon. Let's assume A.J. Dillon was a rookie, but we had a premonition. And in that premonition, we got to see A.J. Dillon in the small sample that we got in the Green Bay offense. And now he's in your rookie drafts, knowing that he got selected in the second round. So we're getting an A.J. Dillon second rounder with no Aaron Jones, no Jamal Williams. We got a sample size. He's still fresh and young. And we know that based on the concerns that we had, I think I agree with Nick. I was a lot more concerned about A.J. Dillon before I got to see him in the NFL, obviously, than I am now. I don't see how, if you dropped A.J. Dillon in this rookie draft, I don't see how we can pass up the Green Bay almost ahead of Etienne and Najee. And I'm giving Etienne and Najee the benefit of the doubt right now because I expect them to have decent landing spots. But I could see A.J. Dillon just skyrocketing up this list based on what Nick said. I mean, once again, I was under the impression that Jamal Williams is under contract. And like Nick said, they might find a way to keep him around because he's a thorn in your side. Like, he is the guy that every franchise wants. He's good at everything. He's a reliable guy in all facets. He's just not great. He's just going to be a pain in the ass.
And the other thing too, so Dillon, they have a good offensive line. Let's say they lose Lindsey, who's a top five guy. Elgton Jenkins is amazing. And then Bakhtiari is top left tackle in the NFL. I mean, he tore his ACL. So you have a couple of top guys there. When you look at somewhere like Kansas City, their offensive line is trash. It was really bad. And they don't have, you said, the cap space. I mean, they hopefully repair that. So you start looking at what Dillon could be going forward with a good offensive line. You know, that's also another factor.
Yeah. I mean, he could, like I said, he could skyrocket up this list post-draft. Be interested. So yeah, he's 9, and I have James Robinson at 10. And once again, it's about the draft capital, the money that Jags have, the new coaching staff, the new quarterback. He was incredible last year. relative to expectations. Even if he was a second round pick, I would have said James Robinson had a phenomenal season. I just don't trust the NFL.
There you go. I think the learning here is AJ Dillon is a pretty good value. He's not ranked in the top like 11 or 12 right now when you combine the cornerstone rankings 2020-21. But I think he is ranked in our rankings in that spot pretty emphatically. So
imagine AJ Dillon not there and the Packers are drafting a second round running back and they're using that selection on AJ Dillon.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. And that would change my rankings just hearing that. I'm going to keep them how they are, but, that would be information that I would use to, modify my rankings for sure. Nice job. And finally, what would be a 200th episode without a Nick Whalen's final thoughts? So once again, dim the lights, turn on some Kenny G saxophone music or Enya, whatever your preference is. Just kick back, relax, pull that recliner out, kick the feet up, and enjoy what Nick has to say.
A lot of pressure there, but I wanted to, just for our 200th episode, I've only been on for, who knows, maybe 50 of the episodes at this point, maybe less, who knows. A lot of thanks goes out to the people that support us, but I think I want to thank the hosts here, JP and Izzy and Mo. The thing is that you guys know them, you know, from a podcasting point of view, from a Twitter point of view. But I know them all personally, and they're fantastic. I mean, I've been invited to all of their homes. We've had, you know, lunch, dinner together, done things together, and they're great people. So this is me thanking you guys on the 200th episode for letting me be a part of this and being friends. I mean, this is a thing that I've been a part of multiple fantasy companies, and when you leave, sometimes people forget about you and you guys never have, because that's the people that you are. So when you guys support DTC, I want you to know you guys are supporting some really good people, some good families, and a really good part of the industry here in DTC.
Oh, man.
Can I cry?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Wow.
Thank you, Nick.
That's
there you go, man. Wow. Dude, that was something special.
That was more than... I was expecting much less from you, Nick. That was amazing.
But you mean normal. You're expecting normal from me.
No, that was awesome. That was awesome. I wasn't expecting it, and that was fantastic. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you bringing that up, and obviously we did this a long time ago, and the idea was to help the common man, right? This wasn't a cash grab. It wasn't anything. We didn't even want to be, our goal wasn't to be where we are today. Like, our goal was just to put out a nice product to help the common man with the struggles that we had in Dynasty and just kind of the conversations that we've always had. And it's amazing that we've made it this far and met the people that we have met, which is, you know, guys like Nick and just people across the industry. I mean, the guys over at Nerds have been great allies. We have, you know, I got my writing career per se started at DLF before we even launched this product. So it's like there's just been a lot of great people along the way, and Nick, obviously, we've had the best friendship because we've met in person, we've hung out, and I've spent the night at your house while I've traveled for work, and so yeah, man, I really appreciate that. That was pretty dope.
Thanks, Waylon. That's heartfelt. Very nice. Well, that's all we got. That was episode number 200. Super memorable. I'm going to always remember that Slim Jim jingle probably for the rest of my life. Unbelievable stuff, Mosier. Probably your best work. I mean, we're going to have to put together like a jingle compilation just for a single episode. That was Waylon's suggestion once, actually. It would be pretty cool to hear them all. But you guys, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you check out our website, dynastytradecalculator.com. Check us out on Twitter at FFDynastyTrades. You can follow Nicholas Whalen at _ Nick Whalen. Don't forget the underscore there. I can be followed at FF Hercules. You can find Izzy at DTC_IzzyE and the producer, fabulous producer with that jingle, the amazing jingle from Jonathan Mosier. It was amazing. You can be found on Twitter at DTC Jonathan Mosier. John Mosier? Jonathan Mosier. Jonathan. John Moser.
Jonathan?
Jonathan. ETN.
John ETN.
Thank you for listening. Bye. John ETN. John ETN Moser.
The J is a silent J. Silent J.